Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday. Welcome to training camp, and good things going on in Green Bay. I'm excited.
Yeah, hard not to be. Training camp 2021. That means that, you know, the off season's, like, I guess you could say the off season's really over. Like, training camp really is the start of when everything is happening. We'll get practices. So far, two practices have happened. Tuesday, July 27th was when veterans were expected to report. Aaron Rodgers was there, for anyone who, you know, was wondering. There was some scare. There was a bit of rumors. I mean, especially when the sports books, apparently they pulled a lot of the Packers totals. And I know everyone kind of interpreted that as, oh, Rodgers is gone. But it was the opposite, really. Rodgers came back to camp, and so now they have to kind of raise their totals. Because the knowledge of Rodgers being there with the totals they had, I think, I remember seeing them as kind of like, early on, like we talked about, like February, right before all this Rodgers news, they had the early Super Bowl odds and things like that, or early win totals. And like, I was trying not to be biased, but it's kind of tough not to pick the Packers. I think they had them at 10.5 wins. Outside of Rodgers getting hurt, they've gone over that every year, so that probably seems like a safe bet, right? So I think that'll be adjusted there. But I'll be honest, I did get a little scared. Like, I've been kind of pretty, you know, wavering throughout the offseason. It was, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to play, probably not going to retire. I know once he got past that deadline, the opt-out deadline, and he hadn't opted out, it kind of felt, okay, he's probably playing, right? Like, and so, I was a little scared on the weekend, but then, you know, I think the report came out Monday night that an extension was reworked, or that, you know, contract concessions, I think are the term they're using, were made with Rodgers. And, you know, saw all the videos Tuesday of, you know, not him practicing, but him walking through in the parking lot just as proof that he's there. But yeah, happy times for Packers fans.
Yeah, looking cooler than cool, right? I really like that we left it alone, because everybody else is hitting at it, and there's a few questions. What do you guys think about it? We kind of left it be. We kind of said, you know, we think he's coming back. So you and me really, even off air, didn't even talk about it much, because we're like, you know, he's coming back. Let's leave it be. And guess what? He's back. The media stuff and all the crap storm, and I said that nicely because I should say it differently, made it really, really bad. Guess what? It was bad for a minute, and I think it was on both sides, and it was communication, but he's back. And everything that was stirred up for the last 3 months was a lot of clickbait crap too, because I don't think a lot of it is what the problems were. But we'll leave that alone because I don't want to talk about that. And he's back, all in. The team's here to win. It sounds like everybody's on board. And if the window's 1 or 2 years, let's go. Let's go.
Win is right. And I think I almost want to take a little bit of a victory lap here, because our expectations were, again, he was going to play. Like, we were pretty sure of that. And one of the things I'm hearing, like, okay, you know, he's a crybaby, blah, blah, blah. I guess apparently, you know, his press conference was pretty open. I know, like, most people I've heard nothing but good things. Like, wow, like, we want athletes to be more transparent and not give such robotic answers. I'm definitely in that sort of, you know, mindset, I think, from a, you know, we'll call ourselves media people, you know, from our perspective here, full press coverage, right? Like, you know, presenting news and, you know, call us media. I think that's valid. I think our opinion's a lot more valid than certain folks who call themselves media. So, you know, I feel like we've earned it. But, you know, from that perspective, I think it does nothing but create good opportunities for reporters, people at press conferences. Those videos get more notable, right? More so than just the robotic same answers. Like, who's gonna watch that, right? Like, I know, you know, Greg Popovich, we'll talk basketball, and talking basketball in Milwaukee, I think pretty good right now, right? But Greg Popovich, right? I've heard a narrative, like, you know, sometimes when he gives his one word answers, right, the San Antonio Spurs coach, I guess I should say, in case anyone doesn't know basketball NBA, but like, you know, very notorious, sort of like Bill Belichick, right? And kind of a genius coach like Belichick, but also Popovich especially, you know, sometimes give a one word answer and really, like, not snappy, but really quick, and you know, he's not saying much, but he's saying a lot, right? And, you know, some people say, oh, he's so disrespectful. But my thinking is, we're not watching the normal coach's boring press conference, right? The Popovich clips, when it happens, they get played over and over again. And that reporter that's asking him is getting much more exposure than they would have before. So I never see it as a sense of disrespect. I want interesting, original answers to that. So I don't really view Aaron Rodgers as a crybaby. I've also heard people saying he does this every year. Like, when else has this happened? Like, when was there ever, like, talk of potentially retiring? And it does sound like he legit considered it. Like, he was actually toying with the idea, right? I'll pay back the money and just call it quits, right? That's never come up before. Like, it seemed like with Favre, it was there the couple years. Again, the Rodgers to Favre comparisons, we've already talked about this. It's not just, and people shouldn't do it, and yet people continue to do it.
Yeah, man, there's so much that you just said there, because it's apples to oranges. Like, listen, he has never done this before. So listen, is he a crybaby? No. His interview was probably the most real, like, hey, if you wanted it, you got it. That's what you got. So if you didn't want to hear it, sorry, you asked for it. He was honest. Whether it's his truth or the whole truth or nothing but the truth, but he laid it all out there, and he said what he had to say. And then I liked what Goot said afterwards too. He's like, hey, we didn't know he was this upset. So right there, it shows that there was disconnection. Both sides should have communicated better. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong here. That's not my judgment. I don't play that game, because a lot of people said, whose side are you on? I'm like, I'm not on either side. I'm a Green Bay Packer guy. I'm following what's going on. I think both sides could have done it better. But at the same time, Rodgers did where he opened up the door, where he's like, hey, man, you know, use me for everything. You know, he's like, and I want to be a part of everything. Cool. Did he let some things fester? Yeah, he did. But he laid it out there, but he did it professionally. He did it without, like, being a total butt, you know. So it is what it is. You know, everybody wanted to hear him talk. He talked. You know, we wanted to hear it 3 months ago or 2 months ago or a month ago. He left it alone because he said, I'm not going to buy in and I'm going to stay silent, because the media is stirring everything up. And they did. And oh, my God, did they. And guess what? It seems like it's going to be OK. Rodgers isn't going to play till he's 50. Let's be reasonable. It's a 2-year window right now. Let's go freaking win. You know, let's go win now.
Yeah, so 2-year window, and I think one of the things was, okay, reworked contract as part of him coming here. So I think those details have finally been released. Before this rework, his cap hit was $38 million, I believe, or $37 million, something like that. And now it's down to $27 million, 27.5. So basically, it saved them $10 million in cap space to be able to kind of add some players. We'll talk about that. They've already added a couple names, one through trade, one through free agency. It's some good names too, right? And so, like, adds flexibility, and it, you know, means they could continue to add. Like, the work might not be done. Now, the one thing it does is I notice the cap hit next year. Actually, it's not so much the cap hit. I think that was, I guess, slight increase, but really the dead cap next year went up. So I remember beforehand it was about, you know, just over $40 million in as a cap hit, and set like $17 million dead cap. So they saved just over $20 million if they cut or traded him. Not gonna cut if they traded him, which, again, I've been kind of saying for the last 15 months is kind of the target date after the 2021 season. They're going to trade Rodgers, right? And that's kind of one thing I've kind of said all along, basically since they've drafted Jordan Love. Nothing's made me think otherwise. So I know you say 2-year window. I do say 1-year window, but this rework does maybe put some doubt finally, just because that dead cap went up. So 26.8 million, so they'll still save about 20 million. So it still seems feasible. Like, I could still see a trade happening, but it'll be extra costly for the Packers, about 10 million more. So basically, like, it's saving the 10 million this year to kind of move it next year if the trade happens, right? So I still think it could happen, but I'm probably now the least likely to think that since draft night, in the first round of 2020, when Jordan Love was taken, that Rodgers will be on the team in 2022. This is probably the closest I am to believing that. I'm still probably more to 50-50 at this point, but yeah. So at least you have faith enough for the both of us, because you seem to think like this is really 2 years. Obviously, it's 1 year for sure. He's there. He's going to play. That's the best news, because there was a little bit of doubt. But yeah, so I guess next year is maybe we'll see. I guess, again, from my perspective, creeping closer to him being on the Packers than it was beforehand, but still not fully convinced of that.
We'll see is a perfect answer. We got this season down. The Packers showed the respect where we'll revisit this next year. Let's see how far we take this. Like, hey, we get to the Super Bowl, which that's a hard thing to do, but we have the team to do it. That's two different things. You know, me being cocky and say, oh, yeah, we're going to win a Super Bowl. That's cocky. Do we have the talent to win the Super Bowl? Heck yeah, we do. That's just, we know that. That's what they're saying. Hey, we get to the glory land, we get in the game or we win it. Yeah, let's bring it back again. We have that option. Hey, you know, we go out, you know, early, the season doesn't go good. Let's move on. And now Rodgers can also like say, you're not trading me there. I'm going to go here. And there's a little bit of play in there. And the Green Bay has a little bit of leverage too, where they can get something back, even though they're going to take that hit. Because in 2023, the cap is looking like it's going to go way up with the new media deals. So both sides helped each other out. Yeah, so 1-2 year window. I say two, like you said, Humpty Dumpty on the ledge there, both of them.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't break anything this year. Please don't. Now that we've got those details out of the way, I do want to get back to venting and ranting, because there are just a few things still bugging me, right? Like, you know, call Rodgers a whatever, insulting names you want. I mean, is he really cocky? Sure. Is he super talented? Absolutely. So, like, is there merit to that confidence cockiness? Like, you better believe it. Like, I haven't really seen a quarterback that isn't cocky. And I mean, the ones, probably the ones that aren't the successful ones, right? So, Alex Smith, like, he still has to have an immense amount of confidence, certainly to come back from the injury, right? Like, so there's not like this outward cockiness, but that's still got to be internalized and exist, right? So that exists for everyone, and how much they show it and which ways they show it are much different. I kind of feel like Rodgers is much more, I'm not going to say reserved, because he could still, like, he's pretty outspoken. Like, when he believes in stuff, he's not afraid to say it. But he tends to not be so rambunctious as, say, a Philip Rivers, like, even a Kirk Cousins. Like, you know, we've seen them on the sidelines, like, really yelling, really getting in people's faces. Like, I've kind of seen Rodgers do that to Mike McCarthy. Like, man, that's an awful play call. But, like, other than that, like, I've never really seen him do it to teammates. We know, like, you know, personality wise, you know, Drew Brees is much closer to Brett Favre than he is to Aaron Rodgers in beliefs and sort of, the, you know, nonsense. And, like, don't even get me started on Ben Roethlisberger. I don't even want to call Jameis Winston that good a quarterback to, like, be talking about him in this era. But, like, you know, like, I really don't view Aaron Rodgers as a bad person. In fact, like, I think I'd agree, get along with him to a certain extent much better than a lot of football players, I think. And I mean, it seems like, just in terms of what he's angry about, one of the angriest things I've been about in Gutekunst's tenure, and to this date, probably the most, is Jordy Nelson, Jimmy Graham, right? That whole sequence of events. And it seems like that's where it started, right? Like, his first tenure as GM, before the draft even, right? Before they get the, you know, the masterful trade back to get Jaire Alexander. This is how you play free agency. I love the Muhammad Wilkerson signing, but the Jimmy Graham, like, you know, cutting Jordy Nelson or asking Jordy Nelson for a massive pay cut and then just letting him loose anyway, and then, like, bringing in Jimmy Graham on the basically the same contract you just had him for Nelson on, it was just like, it still enrages me. Like, I really hate that. Why did they do that? Why did he do that? Like, it never made sense to me at any point. And I get the sense, like, Rodgers thinks the same thing. Like, what was that about? Like, of all the moves, what was that about?
Wow, a lot of information again. So yeah, that I get that. And Rodgers brought that up. And, you know, if anybody has not seen the Rodgers interview, go back and watch it, because there's so much in it that we can't say here just because it was so in depth. But yeah, so just touching on the Jordy one. Yeah, it's like, okay, so a lot of what Good has done, like, a lot of people are like, oh, he's terrible and all this and all that. Now let's slow down. He has slowly built a roster and drafted, outside of what you said with the Jordan Love draft, he has drafted a team that is really damn good. He has done good things. He has brought in free agents. He has done a lot of good things. Now, where Rogers is talking about, yeah, the Jordy Nelson thing. Yeah, what the heck are you thinking? Which, I get it. You want to, you know, do the Jimmy Graham thing. It was an epic failure. Epic failure. And why was it that Jordy was a – you could have brought in Jimmy Graham and kept Jordy Nelson. And that's what Rogers, I kind of think, was saying. Because he had no problem with Jimmy Graham coming in. You know, Jimmy Graham was – you know, for whatever reason, was it didn't work. You know, no fault to the man. You know, it just didn't work. But Jordy could have been here. He could have been here. It would have been cheap. You know, and Rogers spouted off on ones before that, you know, were the biggest one to me, which you can't fault the regime now. But it, like he was saying about Julius Peppers, that was the biggest one. He's like Julius Peppers, he knew for a fact, wanted to retire a Packer, would have took a huge cut. He had 11 sacks the next damn year. Why was Julius Peppers not offered a contract? That was the one which that's has nothing to do with the new regime. But this is a lot of bottled up things on Aaron Rodgers. You know, this is what made him mad. I'm like, I get that one. That one would really upset me. Then it kind of just funneled out. So, yeah, then it was Jordy, which was a friend and all that. And regardless, he didn't have to be great because it was passing the torch. It was passing it to Devontae, you know, but he could have been here for less. It wouldn't have hurt this football team. And that's what he was questioning. Why did we not even talk about it? I get it. Like, it's not all about empowering these players and they make the decisions. But, hey, man, like me and Jordy won the Super Bowl. Talk to me about this. I get it. But, you know, let's move forward.
Yeah, you said, like, you know, it's not, and it's so, you know, I think one of the things that does clarify, maybe this is one of the most illuminating things for me, is that it's not just Gutekunst, right? Like, I really did think, okay, is this all directed just at the GM? And it does seem like it's more than that. It is kind of the organization philosophy, the front office in general, the is that even to the shareholders, the CEO? Maybe, but one place it doesn't seem like it's been directed at all or ever is Matt LaFleur. And just since he's arrived there, the media has done nothing but like try to drive this wedge. And like, based on Rodgers' behavior, I know the initial like OTAs, it's, oh, this is new and complicated. Rodgers, you know, he seems like a complex fella, doesn't he, right? Like, he seems like he likes complicated things. So like, that seemed to be like just him talking about like, okay, yeah, it's a challenge, it's gonna be learning new, this, that suddenly got all these like negative connotations to that. I'm sure Rodgers loved learning a new offense that was like, way better than the Mike McCarthy offense, let's be real. And I don't think Rodgers wants to go back to that. So like, as far as I know, I'm sure, like, if you asked Rodgers like, who's the best coach you've ever had, as much as he's won a Super Bowl with McCarthy, I'm sure he'd say Matt LaFleur. Maybe I'm wrong. Like,
you are not wrong.
Just the way that I've seen him behave around McCarthy, I think, you know, he's, again, he won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. I'm sure he appreciates that and, you know, doesn't think he's a horrible coach or anything, but like, I think it's pretty clear Matt LaFleur is a better coach, or at least has designed a better offense. And so, yeah, because, you know, I've seen people kind of say, like, you know, part of the rumors of this was, okay, to appease Rodgers, do you just fire the coach, fire the GM? It's like, why would firing LaFleur make Rodgers happy? I think right now that would not make him happy. Not that ever seemed like that was ever going to be the case. Like, again, media driven, right? So there's been a lot of nonsense really written about Rodgers really over the last 2-3 years. And like, people are buying into it and kind of saying, oh, Rodgers has kind of acted like stubborn like the last 2-3 years, but like, that really hasn't been there. Like, I don't know, I feel like, you know, I don't know why the NFL or like the kind of just the general media seems to not like him as a person. I really do, I find him much more interesting than, again, most quarterbacks, most players in the NFL. So like, it's not just because I'm a Packers fan. I mean, you know, if I wasn't a Packers fan, I'm sure I'd still probably find Aaron Rodgers one of my favorite quarterbacks, both on and off the field. So glad he's with the Packers this year. That's the takeaway. Hooray.
And I get it. You know, Rodgers is, you know, maybe more sophisticated. He's not the oh shucks, you know, kind of guy. That's not him. You know, like, he's, if people would have watched Pat McAfee stuff every Tuesday for the last year, they would change their opinion about him, because I think he is an okay guy. He's got dry sense of humor, but he's more open than they say. But yeah, for some reason, the media spins a lot of crap on him. I don't read into it all. And I think a lot of the problems, like you're saying too, it's with Russ Ball and Mark Murphy, who guys they're running it so like, hey, this they're running like it's the 60s. And Rodgers is like, you know what? This ain't the 60s. Let's run it like the NBA where get some input from me. You know, you have me here now. Ask me my opinions on guys that I would like to be in this organization, whether going out the door or coming in the door. And even if you tell me no, pick my brain. That's all he was saying. Now, he didn't ask that, it sounds like, until now. But on the other side, they didn't ask it either. So both sides could have handled it better. But anyway, they spoke about it. He's in town. Let's move on. And Packer football is upon us.
How much do people appreciate Rodgers? I think most Packers fans still do. I know there's maybe some negativity of some Packers fans. We're going to boo him, right? Like, I don't think anyone's booed him at practice. I don't think anyone would dare. I just think, you know, maybe there are some Packers fans that went a little crazy on that in terms of you know, blaming Rodgers. Again, like you said it perfectly, right? It wasn't about picking sides. The idea was we want both sides, like Packers and Rodgers, to be one side. Like that shouldn't, we don't want to pick sides. That's the opposite of what like the purpose is. And so, you know, Packers fans unite. And, you know, how beloved is Aaron Rodgers? I know, like, we both ranked him pretty highly on our all-time Packers list. Like, I had him at 3, and, like, you know, I had Forrest Gregg ahead of him. Like, I could easily make the argument for Rodgers ahead of Gregg and put him at 2. And, I mean, you had him at 4, and I'm sure it's, like, same thing. Like, you probably could have easily moved him anywhere within that top 4. So, like, we're saying, like, one of the greatest ever. I say greatest quarterback ever. I know you're more partial to Bart Starr still, which... 5-time champion, can't really blame you. How do the fans think about that, though, is really the question. So we did end up doing a poll after our previous episode where we ranked the top 10 players in Packers history, did a bracket poll kind of based on those results. So we'll read through those results quickly. One thing I wanted to do is allow some input on who do we put in the bracket. So a 6-seed bracket, basically the you know, composite results of both what Jesse and I did last episode and averaged them out and kind of ranked them that way. And so for the, you know, basically the rankings six through nine were all pretty close. So decided to let the people decide of those four players who would be in the bracket. So we had Brett Favre, Ray Nitschke, Curly Lambeau, and Mike Michalski. 21 votes in this poll and 4.8 for Lambeau and Michalski. So clearly, like, we like those two a lot more than everyone else does.
Call us old souls. Call us old souls.
And so the real competition was down to Favre Nitschke. Favre won with 57.1% of the vote. So put Favre in as the 6-seed, which meant he was going up against Bart Starr. Sorry, and I know to both our chagrin, Favre wins that one too. 65-35% over Starr. I was, you know, and I know some people, you know, a lot of more people were, who voted kind of like, okay, it's the one I saw, the one I knew. So I do wonder if maybe this is leaned against the old players. Certainly in the 4-5 matchup that we saw at Forrest Gregg versus Reggie White, it was 87.7% Reggie White, 12.3% Forrest Gregg. That's like, I'll quickly go back. That might be one of the most lopsided results in any of the polls we've run.
Reggie. Yep. Yeah. That surprised me how lopsided that was, for sure.
Yeah, I think the most lopsided. The only one that came close was one of the Rodgers throws. Which one was that? That had one of them had 83.9%. It was the quarterfinal, the 2-seed, 7-seed. It was the Hail Mary versus the James Jones one against the Saints, which was a 7-seed. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's probably predictably going to be one that was lopsided. But yeah, Reggie White over Forrest Gregg. I kind of expected that to be the case, like putting that poll, like, okay, I feel like Reggie White's going to win this. I just didn't expect that much. I love Forrest Gregg, but apparently more than the Packers fans.
Nobody can block Reggie, right? Even Forrest Gregg.
Yeah, to be fair, and it does almost make you wonder, okay, did we maybe have it wrong in the rankings? Or, like, I guess you had White ahead of Gregg. I didn't. But, like, yeah, White went one-on-one against Gregg. I don't know that Gregg would be able to stop him more often than Wright would get through. So yeah. So I understand that. So semifinals end up, so Don Hutson was the number 1 seed. Rodgers was the number 2 seed. Again, both had both of them in the top 4. of our ranking, so they've really kind of helped the averages out. You know, I was a little lower on Star. Sorry about that. I ended up forcing him to go in the quarterfinals. Anyway, it ends up with Don Hutson versus Brett Favre. That actually ended up 50-50. So apparently people appreciate Hutson. I'm glad about that. So I put both in the final. And then Rodgers versus Reggie White in the 2 seed versus 5 seed. And Rodgers did win 56.1% to 43.9%. So close. The Reggie White love is there, but ultimately Rodgers got through. In the final, Hutson finished third at 14.5%. Favre second at 32.5%. And then Rodgers 53%. So from what Twitter's saying, Packers fans' favorite Packer is Aaron Rodgers. Or at least, you know, on Twitter view, Rodgers is the greatest Packer of all time. So quick reaction to those results, Jesse.
And there's a lot of votes on that I've it's so interesting. I like it. So like Don, like, okay, yeah, we saw like the new guys are winning. The new guys are winning. But then, oh my God, Reggie surged through. And then Don Hutson got respect too. So I think we got all kind of arrows in there. So thanks. Thank you to everybody that voted. That's pretty cool. Maybe I disagree a little bit, but that doesn't matter. That's awesome that everybody like threw in their 2 cents. Good stuff. Even some people threw in a little bit of like feedback. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, I know one person, Lee Mack, Twitter name, said basically said Reggie, right? Like you were saying, right?
That's it. His name. Yep.
So definitely showing, and I think that was a comment to the semifinal between him and Rodgers. So sorry, Lee. Reggie didn't get through, unfortunately.
I'm with you, Lee.
So, yeah, well, someone who's with the Packers now and who has been before, Randall Cobb, returning to the Packers in a trade. He was still under contract with the Texans. Packers giving up a 6th-round pick in 2022 to get Cobb back in the fold. So, Jesse, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What's a quick reaction to Cobb being back? I wrote just a quick reaction article on Full Press Coverage. I called it Cobb Coming Home. So what do you think about all that?
When you saw him and how he teared up coming back, why wouldn't you love it? So first reaction when I saw like people reacted to it, it was like, oh my God, he's washed up. We're going to pay all this, pay all that. It's like, you guys are missing the big picture here. First of all, it's going to cost us what, like under $4 million. Houston's eating the other side of it. He's getting back with Rodgers, who Rodgers wanted him here, true slot. And him and Amari Rodgers' connection, a lot of people don't realize that like Randall Cobb is like a big brother to him. And like even Randall Cobb said that was his protege. So he's here to work with that guy. We're going to have a true slot in this team. And Randall is only 30 years old. He'll be 31 August 22nd. So in a couple of weeks, he'll be 31. He's not 40. He fits. He fits what we want to do. He's going to help this locker room. We're going to have to cut a receiver. We're going to have to cut two receivers that are going to start on other teams. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's how loaded this wide receiver room is. It's a great move.
So technically, we now have two receivers under contract, Randall Cobb and Amari Rodgers, for the 2022 season. So that's nice. It makes that room look a little, you know, less empty. And it's really cuttable. It's $8.2 million cap hit with zero dead cap. So, if they want him, I would actually, I likely see it a restructure, a 2-year type thing that kind of gets that money kind of moved over 2 years. Probably guarantees most of it. That's probably what I likely see if Cobb is on this team next year. But I think that doesn't even really matter. What matters is this year, right? And what does, you know, his effect on this team kind of, obviously, I think, probably the biggest effect, like you said, might be like mentoring a guy like Rodgers, like showing him specifically from the slot. Like, what does Aaron want for a slot receiver and expect? And I think maybe even more so than Nelson, and maybe even more so than Adams now, the mind meld, right? Like scramble, like when, you know, whenever Rodgers has to scramble, like in his heyday, it seemed like it was always Cobb was kind of the guy he would look to in those cases. So like that in itself, like even if Cobb's lost a bit of speed, like that ability to know where to be, where Rodgers wants you to be, that's going to be completely underrated in that, like, and unmatched, really. No one else can really provide that, I don't think. Now, I also wonder and kind of doubt that Cobb will be on the field as often as he was when, you look at 2014, right, where they were playing 11 personnel often, so that slot receiver's on the field a ton. Not to say they go away from that personnel grouping, but I think the way that that Matt LaFleur receivers have been used, and specifically Devontae Adams, moving everyone around, right? Like Lazard, Marcus Valdez-Scantling, they all saw time in the slot last year. And it was, Tyler Irving too, right? So, like, expect Rodgers to, Amari Rodgers, I'm sure, has as well. And then Cobb, right? You got all these players that are going to come in and out of the slot. So I don't think it's going to be like Cobb is the only slot receiver, maybe even the primary slot receiver, like he was before. But I think he'll rotate in, right? Like, so I see him maybe playing about 40, maybe 50% of the snaps on any given week. And he'll kind of, probably most of when he will be playing will be in the slot, but when they want to bring Adams in the slot, for instance, they'll go with Lazard and MVS on the outsides more. Again, thinking more from that 11 personnel grouping with the three receivers. So I feel like production wise for Cobb, I'm kind of giving like quick estimates is around like 600 yards, maybe 5-6 touchdowns. Because here's the thing, dating back to 2015. Cobb hasn't eclipsed 830 yards or 6 touchdowns. He had 829 and 6 TDs in 2015. He hasn't passed either since. With his year with Dallas, 828 yards, 1 yard short of that, but only 3 touchdowns. And that was kind of an anomaly year. His highest actually in yards per reception at 15.1. His career average is 12.1, and he hasn't eclipsed 11.6 since 2014. So I kind of expect that again, around 10, 11 yards of reception. With Rodgers, I mean, he could up his target share, but again, I probably see him getting 60 targets at max. So, or 60 receptions max, maybe like, 70, 80 targets at the absolute max. But like, again, like that's like catches are important. That production will be important there. Still, not, you don't necessarily view him as like this big red zone weapon because he's not massive, but like he can get open in the red zone pretty well too. So like that's always an aspect you love to see as many weapons as possible.
Anyone that's expecting him to come in and like, oh yeah, he's going to get 1,000 yards and all this. Why would you expect that? Like this guy's coming in. We know what his game is. Listen, he's a leader. He's awesome. That matters still. And Rodgers trusts him. So when something breaks down, instead of like throwing out of bounds or doing something like that, he's gonna try to find this. And then now his protege, which even Randall Cobb says, like, this kid's way more talented than me, Amari Rodgers. Hey, let's fast track him. So when it comes December and all this and all that, and we can switch in all these wide receivers that we have, because I think this room's so deep. And stay fresh and stay healthy, and we can put this pressure on teams, and you can rotate these guys in. Fourth quarter, how are you going to keep up with them? Like, when we have the horses and you're trying to cover us with cows, you're in trouble. It's a great move overall. Yeah, it's like, oh, is it the sexy guy or whatever. It works. It fits. And if you look how him and his family want to be back here, they're here to win a dang title. And that matters to me. It's when guys get older and all this and all that, it's either you're trying to get that last cash grab. Obviously he didn't, or you're trying to win and you're trying to do it right. That's what he's doing. So welcome home, Randall Cobb.
I mean, to be fair, his contract with the Texans was a nice cash grab, right? Like he got paid pretty well with them. So he did manage to do that too. But Cobb wasn't part of that 2010 team that won the Super Bowl, right? So he kind of missed out on that era, and he probably wants to, just like Bakhtiari, right? Like, we view them as veterans, but they didn't win. They haven't won that Super Bowl yet, so they're still chasing. Speaking of Bakhtiari and veterans and the offensive line specifically, I was kind of out of the loop on this. So you kind of broke me before we started recording, but apparently I should have been paying more attention. I know I've been busy with some fantasy drafts and some other things, but aside from my personal life, really interested in is who the Packers just brought in. Dennis Kelly, offensive lineman, most recently with the Titans, who he was with for 5 seasons, and he's spent a lot of time at right tackle specifically, and so a good veteran tackle to bring in for some tackle depth, which I think was needed.
Right, and Packer fans, don't even think of him as a depth piece right now, because this guy is going to push Billy Turner. This might even push Billy Turner back inside. Listen, Billy Turner played, you know, right guard 2 years ago. And then, you know, Lucas Patrick's there and all this and all that. And depth, versatility, all that. Dennis Kelly is a mauler. He's big. He's bad. He's tough. He didn't give up a sack last year, according to PFF, Pro Football Focus. He didn't give up a sack. And, like, he had more. It was almost like 1,200 pass protection snaps. He had two penalties and no sacks given up. This guy is a beast. And it was a cap casualty, I think, with them bringing in Julio. They had to move money around. I don't know. But I'm happy he's here. He fits in. He's fun. Go watch his interview. He's a cool dude. Matt LaFleur knows him because Matt LaFleur was obviously there a couple of years ago. But him and David Bakhtiari seem like they're best buddies already. They did a little jersey swap, and everybody thought Bach was back in with the first group last week, even though he's not able to practice. Guess what? It was Dennis Kelly. Or not last week, two practices ago. I'm sorry. But it was Dennis Kelly. He's good. There's going to be – I have an article coming out in a couple days. We're going to be cutting O-linemen. That I will tell you what, they will be starting games in the NFL this year. That's how deep this whole line is, because there's so much talent. And iron sharpens iron. Over anything, I can't believe we signed this guy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy we signed him, because let's keep our quarterback number one clean, and we can do whatever we want to do. And we're going to run at you, too. So go, Pack, go. I'm excited. Sorry, I'm getting excited. It's Friday night.
So, like, Dennis Kelly, quality tackle that they could use, and I mean, in the short term, let's paint the picture of a world where Bakhtiari isn't playing week one. Like, what does that offensive line look like? It's probably Kelly and Turner on the outsides. I'm guessing probably if you forced me to choose, I would guess probably Kelly at right tackle, Turner at left tackle, just because, you know, we saw Turner play there last year. I don't know how much left tackle experience Kelly has. That's my only thinking of, like, Turner would be the more likely if Bach's not ready, that's how they want to set it up. But like you said, I mean, once Bach is healthy, maybe they keep Kelly at right tackle, and instead of moving Turner from one side to the other, he just bounces to inside. Because this is also maybe a hedge on if Myers isn't ready and they want to play either Elgton Jenkins or Lucas Patrick at center. Well, who's that other guard? Maybe it's Turner, right? So those are questions that I'm sure the Packers don't even know yet. Like, they want to see how he, you know, what he's like at practice, like how he can play, how he can acclimate to the system. Again, he's been in a Matt LaFleur led offense before, even if it was one season. So he's, you know, at least has that experience that maybe will translate quickly here, so he can get onto the field and training camp as quickly as possible. And then from there, they can, you know, just like last year, right? The line is versatile. There is a lot of combinations that are possible. Now it's up to the coaching staff to figure out what is the best combination. So that's going to be maybe the most, I know for me, maybe the most exciting, intriguing of the camp battles, and figuring out how this offensive line is going to look like, exactly its iteration, who's going to be playing where, what that week one starting set is going to be. To the Randall Cobb news, I think the back end of that, who's that last receiver making the team? I know my quick takeaway is, you know, obviously Adams is there. I don't see them cutting Cobb after, you know, it's a 6th round pick, but you still paid a draft pick for him. Like, and I think now if they did cut him, they'd have to eat. Like, I know the Texans have already eaten some of his contract, but if the Packers cut him now, I think they're on the ropes for most of what, like, most of his the rest of what the Packers have is guaranteed this year. Like, what I'm seeing is a 5.47 cap it with 5.2 dead. So, like, saving 200,000. So, like, I don't see Cobb getting cut. Like, so pretty sure, like, Adams, Cobb, they're secure. Valdez, Scantling, Lazard, all both on final years of deals. So, like, technically easy cuts, but, like, why would you get rid of those two? Like, they've proven so much. Like, if, you know, I expect Lazard to, like, even with Cobb back, like, I kind of view Lazard as the number two receiver still. I don't know if your view changes, if Cobb changes that for you, but I, like, still view that guy as Lazard. If he's healthy, like, he's going to be the guy they really look to, more so than Tonyan, more so than Cobb, more so than Valdez-Scantling. Again, that's how I view it. How do you see it? Do you agree with me there?
Well, so I don't. And not in a, you're wrong in a sense of a way. I don't think the Packers have a number two, and I don't think Cobb's a problem with that. MVS with his downfield stuff is there with Lazard. So they're both there. So they're my two and two, 2A, 2B, just because what they bring. Because Cobb is not going to be asked to do that, and neither is Amari. And now you got Funchess going over all what you just said. I agree. Funchess is there, and guess what? My dark horse, like I said, I have an article coming out. Juwan Winfrey is a guy that I think is going to make this team because he can play special teams, and that's going to be the big thing. With Cobb coming back, they're going to lose a wide receiver spot. Someone has to play special teams, and I think Winfrey is that guy. I know you like Reggie Bagleton. I do, too. He was a favorite of ours going into camp last year. Maybe they can sneak him. I don't know. I think he has one more year he can be on the practice squad. But Winfrey's that guy that I think can be. We're going to carry 77, but if they want to carry all their tight ends, they're not going to carry seven. Still is going to be very interesting. But as far as number twos, I have no idea, man. Who was our best receiver in the NFC Championship game? It was MVS that game, you know, which, you know, Lazard wasn't 100% healthy. So I think that he's the guy going in that could play that. But we like to play multiple roles. Listen, you had our running backs, our tight ends, and these wide receivers in, and you try to put the best, let's say the best 11 of them. How do you stop this offense? And that's not being cocky, and that's not being preseason crazy. But if everybody stays healthy, we're going to have some hard cuts, and there's a lot of talent. And everybody were saying there's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer.
It seems like six receivers is like the safe bet. Like they're probably not going to keep seven. So Winfrey would make sense. Like I feel much less confident in Bangleton making it this year than I did last year, to be honest. Like just because like Malik Taylor kind of showed it too. Like it wouldn't surprise me if it's him. Equanimeous St. Brown. Like because when they first drafted him, he kind of took this stance. I'm not playing special teams, but he's definitely developed and gotten better at it. So like he can still fit in there too. I'll be honest, like I really don't see Devin Funchess making this team. I think this Randall Cobb trade basically like is the coffin in the nail to any chance on Funchess. Like I don't even think he would have made the team if he hadn't opted out last year. Personally, like I wasn't really expecting much out of him. And I still don't this year. Maybe he'll surprise me because, like, I don't think that he fits that special teams mold. So, you know, if he's like, again, like in my mind, for Funchess to make the team, not that I'm wishing this, it would have to be probably an injury, or he has to prove that he's better than Lazard and Valdez-Scantling. And I just don't see that happening. Not with the way those two play and the skill sets that they develop. Like, maybe Funchess is a better contested catch guy than Valdez-Scantling. Like maybe we can say that argument, but wouldn't you just rather the deep threat that can get open and burn the defensive backs and not have to make the contested catch? So yeah, we're talking about veterans here, and I guess, you know, Funchess is a veteran returning from the opt-out last season, returning to the NFL this year, and it's a great story, like, you know, for him to come back or even getting to the Packers. I know because he dealt with a big injury the season before with the Colts, I believe. So, you know, just even getting to shape to where he could make, you know, come to a teaming training camp. And again, this year, like that's great for him. But yeah, like you mentioned how talented this team is. I just don't see him cracking the roster. So I think like I see it's much more likely that like your argument for Winfrey, Malik Taylor or Equanimeous St. Brown all gets that six receiver spot all over Funchess.
And I agree. And then, you know what, if we do, and I'm on that same board, where if we do cut Devin Funchess, he is going to be playing for another team in this league. Mark my words, that guy is going to be a top three receiver on some team in this league. And it's just because, like what you're saying, he's been out basically 2 years. You know, this guy was the number one in Carolina after they got rid of Kelvin Benjamin. I'm going off topic a little bit. But this guy has a talent. He has proved that he can play in this league. Then he went, you know, went to the Colts. It was going to be a fresh start. Got hurt week one, second half, you know, whatever. Packers picked him up. He stayed out of the year because of COVID. He's back. You look at him, he is built to play. He is in physical shape. He looks awesome with no pads on. He's physically imposing. We already have those guys. And I think that's the part that it's the hard break. We have a Lazard. We have MVS. You know, we have guys that are built like him. It's hard to, unless, God forbid, there's an injury. That's the biggest thing. How is he going to stick when we need more guys like a Malik Taylor or, you know, just guys that are a little bit smaller, you know, that can fit a different role, you know? So it'll be interesting. And that goes to my whole point is this team is deep. There's going to be guys that are going to get cut and they're going to be in the NFL. They're going to be in the league. They just won't be with the Packers. And unfortunately, Packer fans might say, man, we should have kept that guy because he's having a great year. But there's a reason for it.
Actually, something that I do want to circle back to. You mentioned, okay, like do the Packers, like you don't really think they have a true number two receiver. Honestly, like just because we haven't touched on this position group yet, it wouldn't shock me if Aaron Jones is second on the team in receptions again. So he might be the number two receiver.
Or even Big Bob Tonyan, as good as he was, and they're trying to, you know, do different things with him. He caught 12 touchdowns last year. That's a weapon. So, right, you got Jones, you got that. Now we have true slot receivers. Do we need to have an exact number two, or do we just need to have four or five options? I love that. That I'm one that's always like, oh, we don't have this or we don't have that. Well, let's have them all. Let's have them all.
Yeah, true, right? I mean, versatility, again, like the talk about it for the offensive line. So, yeah, I think those position battles in training camp will be incredibly important. Do you think there's a chance they only keep three tight ends where, like, if Sternberger, they're really, like, just tired of him not developing and they just say we're going to, you know, DeGuara looks like he's healthy coming back from the injury last year. Keep him, keep Tonyan, keep Lewis, and that's it. And then they get the extra receiver that way. Like, I don't know if that's a possibility, and that's maybe something we can talk more about on the coming episodes as we talk more about training camp. But just as a quick thought, like am I crazy for even saying that just because they've pretty consistently always kept four tight ends over this regime and even probably the Ted Thompson regime.
You forgot about Daphne too. And that's my outlier.
Right. Yeah. You're right. No.
Right. So Sternberger's my guy looking out. So this is where your trade chips come in. And this could be, you know, next quick thought, like, hey, as deep as our own line is, a guy like Lucas Patrick or a guy like that, you throw him in with Sternberger, might not be nothing sexy to get back, but hey, they might need a fresh start where they're going to get playing time, because it's not going to happen here because these other guys have passed you up injury wise, or we're just going younger in different ways. So we're going to keep three tight ends, but I don't know if we're going to keep four. So that was a heck of a question, because I don't know. I do not know.
And then maybe even conversely to running back, right? Like Jones, Dillon, and then maybe just keeping Kylan Hill, thinking, okay, we don't need the fullback. Well, one of our tight ends will be the fullback, like really getting away from that offense and only keeping. So like could see either if they really do want to have the extra bodies at receiver. So they might keep seven receivers. I think that there is a chance, and maybe I'm talking myself into it more. But yeah, I think, good point with Daphne. Good naming up with Kelvin Benjamin, because I do wonder, you know, the New York Giants, they brought him in as a tight end and they've just released him. You know, if they don't really trust Evan Engram and they're not really sold in that tight end room, is that maybe somewhere you can ship off Sternberger? Maybe get that sixth round pick back you just got for Cobb, and like, I'd be fine with that. I know he's a former third round pick, but if it's really, rather than cutting him, getting something, like, you know, maybe get more than the sixth just because he's got, I think, 2 years left. But anyway, I think we're in the specifics of Sternberger a little late in the episode.
He's also suspended a little bit, which, you know, feel sorry for him and his problems that he had. I hope he figures it out. But again, iron sharpens iron. And when you got a lot of good guys at a lot of good positions and you have to cut somebody that has talent or you have to move them because of a trade, that's a good problem to have. It still is a business and it is what it is. But I'd rather have that. And then it's like, well, we don't have any other options. Well, let's move this guy because we're that loaded. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked so much about offense. There is a defensive side of the football that does exist. So we'll probably focus more on the defense, certainly. Maybe make the kind of the primary focus next episode first and then get back to the offense again. So we do want to keep the balanced approach. But again, everything this week was really, again, so far only two actual practices. So really about the acquisitions, trading for Cobb, signing Dennis Kelly, Aaron Rodgers showing up to training camp and all that kind of dealt with the offense. So, you know, again, we'll keep talking about training camp these next few weeks. But if there are any specific topics you would like us to bring up, do contact us. We're on Twitter. You can follow the podcast account or the Full Press Coverage Packers account at FPC_Packers. Also, you can follow your co-hosts individually. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. Be sure to download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. Talking about all these articles that we've written, you can get all access to all those articles together, not just what Jesse and I do for Full Press Coverage Packers, but all of the Full Press Coverage content for NFL, NBA, NHL, all those articles available on the Full Press Coverage app. You also get all the podcasts there, access the Full Press Radio Network. So the Full Press Coverage app is available for free and gives everything Full Press Coverage in one convenient location. Also want to shout out PA the Second on Twitter at PA_IIOfficial. He allows us to use the song Nah You as our intro and outro music. So shout out to PA the Second. And Jesse, any final thoughts for our listeners who are here with us again at the start of 2021 training camp?
Looking forward to pads going on. These guys starting to click up. Got family night coming up, and then I will actually be up in Wisconsin. So if anybody wants anything, I would like to get to one or two practices after family night. So looking forward to this fun time of the year. Go Pack, go!
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, won't necessarily be saying that at the Packers training camp, because I mean, I guess you will say it, but like, you know, you're not really cheering for sides, right? Because it's both sides are going to be the Packers at that point. But you know, just over 2 months, we'll be Packers versus other teams, and we'll definitely be saying Go Pack Go here on the Full Press Packers Pod.